And turn to Mark chapter 14. Once you get to Mark chapter 14, I want you to turn over to Acts chapter 13 as well. All right? Two different passages tonight. Our text is going to be in Mark 14, but I want to read a couple of verses out of Acts 13 as well tonight as introductory for the message tonight. And it is our midweek service, but it's also the middle of our missions conference. And typically, I won't preach during our missions conference, but the Lord has seen fit to remove two of the speakers that we had scheduled and for various reasons, and to open up the door for other preachers. And I'm thrilled with what the Lord has done so far, how the Lord has blessed and used the preaching from Brother Pittman. Amen. It's been good, challenging. Brother Lambert, Pastor Humphrey as well. And I'm glad that the Lord knows what He's doing, and He knows exactly what we need. Amen. And we welcome you who are joining us live stream as well. Thank you. And you are in our midweek service as well as our missions conference, and prayerfully, it's a blessing and a challenge to you. Mark chapter 14, I'm going to read 9 verses here, and then we're going to flip over to Acts chapter 13 for a couple of verses. So follow along as I read. After 2 days was the feast of the Passover and unleavened bread. And the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might take him by craft and put him to death. But they said, "Not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar of the people." After being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. And she brake the box and poured it on his head. And there was some that had indignation within themselves and said, "Why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor." And they murmured against her. And Jesus said, "Let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me, for ye have the poor with you always. And whensoever ye will, ye may do them good, but me ye have not always. She hath done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the bearing. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her." Now turn over to the book of Acts. Just keep your place here as well. And look at Acts chapter 13 with me. And I want you to just read verses 1 and 2 with me, or follow along as I read it. "Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, 'Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them.'" We've preached out of this passage here. We've highlighted several things, but I'm just highlighting this statement that the Lord had separated people, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. The call of Barnabas and Saul was a call to work. And as children of God, as members of this New Testament church, we as well are not called to ease. We are not called to idleness, but we're called to be workers. We're called to be laborers together with the Lord. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 9, "For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building." 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 1 says, "When we then, as workers together with Him, beseech you that ye also receive not the grace of God in vain." In Mark chapter 16, Jesus said, the Word of God says, "So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, He was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God, and they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the Word with signs following." Amen. As children of God, we are called to be laborers together with God. And I have a question for you tonight as we begin this message. Have you entered into His labors? Have you entered into the work of the Lord? Some people might say, "Well, Pastor, I want to. I know I'm supposed to work for the Lord. I know that I'm supposed to be a witness for Christ, but I don't have much that I can offer in the work and labor of the Lord. I don't feel like I have much to give. I don't feel like I have much to offer the Lord. You might be a mom whose hands are full because you're raising your children. Your household is busy all the time, and you don't have the time necessarily or the means to be able to maybe do some of the things that you'd like to do in the service of the Lord. Maybe you're an elderly person who can't go, who can't necessarily go door to door, knocking on doors, who can't go on a missions trip somewhere to serve the Lord and in certain things. Maybe you're one who just doesn't see how valuable you are actually in the work of the Lord. Whatever the case might be tonight, I want you to understand, and I want to try to encourage you tonight with this thought and this woman that we read about in Mark chapter 14, where the Bible says she hath done what she could. So go back over to Mark chapter 14, please. And that's the title of the message tonight, She Hath Done What She Could. In the context of this account here, the Bible tells us that the chief priests and the scribes were seeking to take Jesus by craft and to put him to death. In the middle of all of that, the Bible tells us there was a loving woman who was seeking a chance to honor her Lord and her Savior Jesus Christ by pouring precious ointment, spikenard, the Bible calls it, on his head. It was in the house of another person, in the house of Simon the leper. She found her opportunity to do what she could. And the Bible says that she did what she could, and she did it in a time and in a manner that showed her insight into the character and the purpose of the Lord. We'll get to that in just a little bit. We don't know why necessarily here and now, but maybe this good work that she performed unto the Lord was a result of her sitting at the feet of Jesus and learning of Him. Maybe the more that she loved Him and the more that she learned of Him, the more devoted she was to Him. And she was trying to think of, what can I do to honor my Lord and honor my Savior? I believe that that heart is actually true and would be true of every true Christian who desires to love and please the Lord. The more that we learn of Him, the more that we love Him. The more that we love Him, the more we want to give ourselves in service to Him in order to please Him, to show our love for Him. And I see some interesting things in this story that I want to point out that prayerfully will be an encouragement to us tonight in the work of the Lord. She hath done what she could. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, would You lead with Your Spirit tonight, and Lord, would You make application where it's necessary? Or maybe there is the heart of someone here who feels like they don't have much to offer, or that they can't do very much. But Lord, I pray that You would show us how You respond to those who do what they can, motivated from a heart of love unto You. And Lord, I pray that You would grow us and challenge us even here with these principles tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. First thing I want you to see tonight is the work itself, but I also want you to note how Jesus feels about it, His feelings concerning it. The work itself we find in verse 3. And being in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious, and she brake the box and poured it on his head. There's the work that she did. But how does Jesus feel about it? Verse 6 says, And Jesus said, Let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. Jesus said that the work that she did was a good work. Jesus defended her. The emptying of this sweet-smelling ointment upon the head of Jesus was an expression of the affections of her heart toward Jesus Christ freely poured out upon Him. The ointment, the Bible says, was precious. It was valuable. But clearly, he was more precious to her. She knew that his hour of death would soon be upon him. And the Bible says in verse 8 that she came aforehand to anoint his body for the burial. She did what she could do when she had the opportunity to do it, to show her heart of love for the Lord Jesus Christ. And let me say to you tonight and ask you the question, how do we show our love for Christ? Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Right? How do we show our love for Christ? Well, when we love the brethren, we show our love for Christ. When we keep his commandments, we show our love for Christ. In service to the Lord, we show our love for Christ. But let me say to you tonight, it's not just in the things that we do. It's not just in the service we give to the Lord. Because what good are the things that we do? What good is the service to the Lord if our heart is not in it? There are people who do all kinds of things. There are some in the church who are older. There are some in the church who may not be physically capable of certain things. And yet there are others who are full of energy and full of vitality and who can do all kinds of things. But it's not in the things that we do. It's not in what we do and the amount that we do. But it's in the heart that we do it with that the Lord is looking for. Some will work here and work there. Some will do this and some will do that out of a sense of responsibility and a sense of duty, maybe with the mindset, well, somebody's got to do it. If it doesn't get done by me, no one's going to do it. Sometimes people will give to missions or they'll give in offerings in the church, and they give because, well, I know I have to. Or they'll rarely give, but it's only when they start to feel convicted about not giving. But what good is anything that we do if our heart is not in it? It's not the amount of things that we do. Because again, there are some who do all kinds of things. Others maybe who don't do as much, and maybe because they can't. It's the heart behind what we do when we do. With a kind of response that is, well, someone's got to do it. Or I'll give because I have to. I wonder if our service is not really being done out of a heart of love and appreciation to the Lord. And it's being done out of a sense of duty. But you know, I have actually learned this in my life, that there are times when I'm doing things because they need to be done, and not with the right heart motive. And often it just engenders discontentment, maybe resentment, because there's not others who are pitching in, etc., etc. I remember there was one time many years ago, I was on staff at Bible Baptist Church in Grand Forks, and there was an idea that they wanted to build some sort of a memorial unto the Lord, because the Lord had taken the church through the floods, of the Red River flooding in 1997, destroying our church buildings. A lot of people lost their homes, et cetera, et cetera. Our church was without a building for, years, I think. 3 years probably before we got into the new building. But in that time of the flood, the whole church was dispersed. Some were on the west, some were to the east, and no one was in the town. And the Lord brought everybody back together at some point. 3 years later, we have new land and a new building that's being built, and it was not because of, really because of the power and might of the church, but there are churches all across the country that helped and contributed and so on. Point I'm making is that after some time, there was the idea that we want to make something, build something that is a reminder to the people of what the Lord has done for the church. And the verse was, the Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. So the idea was to build this memorial wall that had a fountain in it. So when you walk into the foyer of the building, there was the verse, and there was pictures of the flood, and there was what the Lord had done and built, and there's cause for rejoicing to thank the Lord for the good things that he had done. Well, there was really nobody else who could do the job of building what was drawn out and the idea for that was behind it. Maybe no one else with the skill or the talent or the ability to do what I could do. And I remember this. I remember having this put in my lap. Here, this is your job. Do it. This was no small task. This was a ginormous undertaking to build and to do it right and to make it good and to make it pleasing and aesthetically pleasing and all of those things. And I remember thinking in my mind, how many hours of labor and work this is going to be. A lot of times my wife will go, "Hey, can you build this for me?" And I'm thinking in my head, "Oh man, that's a lot of work." She's like, "Hey, you could do it Saturday." I'm like, "You got no idea." And I remember thinking, I have to do this because it's expected of me to do. I mean, I want it done, but I don't really want to be the one to have to be in charge of just making sure it gets done right. So I went about doing the work, and I built it, and it was hours and hours and days of work and labor and fine-tuning things and so on. And I remember feeling like I've got all of these other things to do. I've got all of these other responsibilities on my plate, that those have to get done too. And now I'm supposed to give extra to finish this. And I remember the Lord really convicting me about the attitude of my heart. But there are other people probably who wish that they could give more to the Lord, who wish that they had opportunity or ability or talent or whatever to give to the Lord. And here I am doing, but the Lord's not pleased with it. It's worthless because my heart's not right. It's not what or how much that we give or do, it's really about the heart of it. And the Bible tells us that this woman, she did what she could. And it didn't matter how precious that ointment was, because Jesus was more precious to her. It didn't matter. And in my case, in that situation, it shouldn't have mattered how much more I had to give, how much more time it was going to cost me, or any other thing, because my Lord should have been more precious to me than those things. We preached on Sunday that the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your mind, and all of your strength. And we broke each one of those things down and what it represented and what it meant. And the end of it was that we ought to love the Lord with every fiber of our being. And the thing that should be the most important to us is pleasing and loving my Savior. And there's nothing more important than that. But here's the thing. When we learn and we value and we appreciate the Lord Jesus Christ like we ought to, and love the Lord with all of our heart, all of our soul, our mind, and strength, you know what? Good service unto the Lord will be a natural result of that kind of a spirit. This work that she did unto the Lord, Jesus called it good. It was motivated by a heart of love for Him. This work was good, but and it was motivated by a heart of love, but this work was also a work of sacrifice. Look at verse 3 there. So we saw that the work was motivated by love unto the Lord, but we also see that the work was a work of sacrifice, because verse 3 says that she had this alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious, and she broke the box and poured it on his head. The cost of this ointment in Jesus' day was about a year's salary for the average person. Verse 5 states that this ointment would have been sold for 300 pence or pennies, which would have been almost a year's salary. The average wage was a penny a day. A penny obviously had more value in Jesus' day than our currency holds today. But here's the truth of the matter. You imagine this. Think about this in your mind. Imagine working an entire year, an entire year's salary for this alabaster box of ointment, and here this lady takes it, and she breaks it, and she pours it all over Jesus' head. Here's the point. She did not give to the Lord that which cost her nothing. This work that she gave to the Lord was a work of sacrifice. She didn't give to the Lord that which cost her nothing. Someone might say, well, she was probably rich. I don't think so. If you study out who she was and what she was and where she came from, you're going to understand that she wasn't rich. What it was a woman who loved her Lord so much that it didn't matter how much this thing cost. It didn't matter how much this was. It didn't matter how much it would cost her personally. It was worth it for Jesus Christ. You know what? She was making a statement about her commitment to the Lord in this moment. Think about that. Here's something really valuable. And those others, they were like, what in the world are you doing? What a waste to pour that over Jesus' head. This is valuable. It could have been used in a different way. But here's the thing with her. This valuable thing wasn't as valuable as Jesus Christ. And she was making a statement about her commitment to the Lord. When she broke that box, there was no going back. There wasn't a scooping up of the leftovers or the remnants out of that box. When she broke it and poured it onto the Lord's head, there was no going back. The entire contents of that vessel would have to be used up. And her commitment to Him was unconditional and it was complete. Say, well, we understand that thought and that principle for those who are called to preach, those who would be pastors, those who would be evangelists. Well, certainly there's no going back. Certainly that vessel is to be used up for the Lord. We understand that for those who are in full-time ministry. But here's a woman who demonstrated this principle in her own life. I think sometimes people, I love God, I want to serve God. And there's a separation between their religious life, their church life, and then their secular life, their temporal life. Right? And I'll give to God when it's convenient, when my temporal life hasn't dominated me and taken over every last part. And if I have some time that's left over after all this is done, well, then I'll probably give it to the Lord over here. I don't have time to go to the church on a church work day because I've got these other projects that have to go on. I don't have time to come out to church, you know, for Great Commission Day because I've got to do this and I've got to do that. Oh, just going to church, you know, 5 nights a week in a conference. Oh boy, I don't know where I'm going to find the time for that. I love you, just so you know. Very much. Very much. but it's not what I think. It's not what I feel. Those shouldn't be motivations for certain things. It's what does he think? And what does he feel? And I love him more than my very life because of what he's done for me. And there is never, ever, ever anything that is more important than that. At least that's how it should be in my own life. Are you with me? She was making a statement about her commitment to Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter how expensive or valuable this is, he's more valuable. And this is what I can do. This is what I have. And I'm going to give it to him. She was making a statement about his value to her. She had probably, maybe, perhaps, saved her entire life to be able to purchase that box of ointment. Maybe she was even saving that for her own burial. But when she broke that box and poured out its contents on the Lord Jesus Christ, she was telling him, "You mean more to me than anything else in this world." She was making a statement, not only of her commitment, not only of his value to her, but she was making a statement about her value to herself. By this act, this woman was demonstrating that Jesus meant more to her than her own reputation among other people. She sacrificed her pride in order to serve him. She was saying, "I love you so much that I don't care what anybody else thinks of my expression of love for you." These others said, "What a waste!" But that didn't matter to her. It didn't matter to her a bit. She didn't care what they thought of her. Jesus Christ meant more. And she did this because she loved him. She was making a statement about the value of her possessions. The value of her possessions. To this woman, nothing in the world was as valuable to her as Jesus. She loved him with an extravagant kind of love, and everything that she possessed was his anyway. But she loved the Lord more than she loved her things. Let me say it again. She loved the Lord more than she loved her things. It was common in those days, I've read this, that it was common in those days to put a few drops of perfume on the head of somebody who was an honored guest when they would come into the home. And they're worthy of a few drops of that perfume. But this woman broke the whole box and poured out every drop on Jesus' head because she loved him. I wonder if we have that kind of commitment and that kind of love for the Lord, where all of me should be used up for the Lord. All the things that I have, all the things of this life, they pale in comparison to the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what? It doesn't matter what he would ask of me. It doesn't matter what there is to do. I want to do what I can. I want to do what I can because I love him. There's no distinction and separation between my religious life and my temporal life. No, sir. I get to control this part of the life. See? You with me? When he ought to control all of it. She was making a statement about his worthiness to be worshipped. Why did she do this? Why did she pour it all out? I believe that she did it because she was thankful unto the Lord. She was thankful because Jesus Christ was her Redeemer, her Savior, He had saved her soul from sin. She was filled with love for him for what he has done for her, what he saved her from. She was overwhelmed with love for him so that she willingly gave up all that she had in this selfless act to worship him. I think it's interesting, and I want to study this out a little bit further. But verse 8 says, she hath done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Jesus said that she came beforehand to anoint his body for the burying. It's almost like Jesus was saying that she had an understanding and a grasp of what was about to happen, that he was going to go to the cross, that he was going to give his life, that he was going to be in the grave, something that his disciples couldn't even grasp. How many times did Jesus tell them, I'm going to be crucified, and I'm going to be buried, and I'm going to rise again the third day? And they didn't believe him. But it's almost like she understood it. She grasped it. And she's come beforehand to anoint my body for the burying. All I'm saying is that she seized the opportunity that she had and she made it count for the glory of God. And you know, we probably have never really done what we could for the Lord if our service unto him has not been costly to us. She didn't give the Lord that which cost her nothing. And I'm not just talking about money, friends. You know what? When we feel good about a few spare moments and a few bucks here and there, if we feel good, look what I did for the Lord. Okay, I served God. Okay, I gave some dollars. I feel good about my service to the Lord. If we can feel good about a few dollars and a few spare moments, I wonder how thankful we are unto the Lord for what he's done for us. Because the true servant of the Lord and the one who really loves him says, I wish I could give him more. I wish there was more that I had to offer to him because I can never repay him. We owe the Lord so much more than a few dollars and a few spare moments. Do we expect him to be pleased with what we've done, with what we've given? Well, the Lord should be pleased with the fact that I've taken the time this week to go to church. The Lord should be pleased that I gave some money here and there. Do we expect him to be pleased? Back to that illustration of that memorial wall, I remember the Lord convicting me heavily. I had spent so many long hours on that job, long hours away from my family, late at night, etc., etc. And thinking to myself, man, I've done a thing. Boy, I sure sacrifice. And the Lord convicting me of my attitude, bringing me to the point where I had to say I was wrong. And to realize that instead of me saying, boy, I've done a thing, and I sure have sacrificed, I ought to be saying, thank you, Lord, for the privilege to use my talents one more time for you. Thank you for the opportunity and the privilege to serve you. Because you're worthy of it. And I can never repay you for what you've done for me. Sometimes we've got to be willing to do without some things or give up some things. And maybe forego with some scheduled events that we have and some trips that we have planned and some fun times that we have and all of it. Maybe sometimes we need to do without those things, sacrifice them, because the Lord has a need of something. And I can do it. We have our weekend plans. We have our schedules. We have everything else that we have to fit in. And if there's any extra after that, well, then the Lord can have that. What I'm saying is, maybe we should check up every now and then and see if the Lord is getting a few spare moments and a few dollars, or if He's getting all that I have and all that I am. I want you to see not the work, just the work here, but I want you to see the results. And I'll finish up with this. What were the results of the work? Jesus said, "Let her alone. She hath done a good work." So what she did, Jesus considered good. What were the results here? Well, in verses 4 and 5, we find that there was the indignation of some. Verse 4 says, "And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, 'Why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor.' And they murmured against her." This was the language of greed and self-interest. I could imagine those who had a problem with what she did, they probably had their own agenda of how things should go. They probably wanted to sound really spiritual here. And so they said, "Oh, that money could have gone to the poor." Well, that's the way it is with people who have more self-interest than an interest of sacrificing for the Lord. Everything's a waste that doesn't meet their approval. Why would we spend money on remodeling the church building? Why would we spend money on this or that? Why would we do this? That's such a big waste in their own minds, in their own thoughts. But let me tell you something. No resource that is put to use for the Lord is a waste. Whether it's money that is spent on projects that's for the Lord, or for testimony, or for whatever, whether it's time, days spent at church, working to get ready for missions conference or other things. It's never a waste to invest the resources that God has given back into Him. They're His anyways, and not ours. And the truth is, He's worthy of it. Amen? But the real result, the best result here, was that it gained her the approval of Christ. Verse 6 tells us, Jesus said, "Let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me." This thing gave her, or gained her, the approval of the Lord. What is more important than that? He accepted her offering. It's what she could do. It's what she had. It was the thing that she could sacrifice for the Lord. He accepted her offering. And that which is truly done for Him is acceptable to Him, no matter how big or small it actually is. Jesus justified her actions when He said, "Let her alone." It doesn't matter what anyone else thinks, especially those who would be murmurers. All that matters is whether or not God approves. Let me say this. Just make an application here. You might be a mom, and you're busy. You're really busy. And you've got an amazing job and a hard job and a job that only you can do. Your life is so busy with all the little kids, and maybe you wish that you could do more for the Lord. But let me tell you this, friend. Let me tell you this, mom. Your children and their soul are your mission field. And you know, we heard the other night, "Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might." Give your whole soul and life to these, because listen, your sacrifice and your labor of love could be the very thing that changes them for all eternity. Do what you can for the Lord. Pour your heart into them. Pour your soul into them. Pray with them. Teach them about the Lord. Make every day and every moment a teaching moment. Point them to the Lord Jesus Christ. Live a godly life in front of them. Set the right example for them, that there's nothing more important than the Lord. And we build our life around Jesus Christ because we love Him for what He's done for us. Live it in front of them. It might be the very thing that changes their life for all eternity. Do what you can. Amen? You might be somebody who feels like you don't have very much to give, or there's not much that you can do. I remember Mrs. Adams. I miss Mrs. Adams. There's nobody who prayed like Mrs. Adams. There's nobody who said amen like Mrs. Adams. If I needed some encouragement in the pulpit, I knew Mrs. Adams was always going to be right there with an amen. She did what she could. She prayed. She asked the Lord to intervene. She did what she could because she loved the Lord. You could tell it, amen. Maybe you feel like I'm not adequate to be a witness. I know I should be. I even want to be. But sometimes I'm afraid. Sometimes I don't know what to say. And those fears creep in and I just don't feel like I'm adequate. But let me tell you something. You have no idea the power of your own personal testimony. Not that there's some great power in your words, but there's power in what the Lord has done for you. And you just testifying, simply telling of what God has done for you can have a huge impact for eternity. Do what you can. She has done what she could, and she's wrought a good work on me. I think that not only did Jesus accept her offering, but Jesus rewarded her good work. Because he said in verse 9, "Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her." Jesus made a prophecy right here, and he said that wherever this gospel is preached in the entire world, this also, the very thing that she's done, wherever the gospel is preached, this also that she has done is going to be spoken of as a memorial to her. And let me tell you, I was talking with Brother Pittman just a little while ago and in my office. We were just talking about the messages tonight and so on. And he said, you know what? I preached this once and I told my people down in Chile, this prophecy of the Lord is being fulfilled right now. It's being spoken of as a memorial unto her. Let me close by just sharing this with you. The Lord will always reward labor that is done for Him out of a heart of love, no matter how big, no matter how small. And even if you don't feel like you have much to give or much to offer, do what you can, and the little that you can do, little is much when God is in it. He rewarded her. And he said that this is going to be spoken as a memorial. She has a place in Scripture today. You understand that? She has a place in the holy word of God today because she had done what she could. Tell me that's not valuable to the Lord. Everything done for Christ in this kind of a spirit is always going to have an enduring influence. God sees, God knows, and He doesn't forget. He sees the things that we do in the name of service that are for Him. He sees the things that we do in the name of service that really only have self at the core. He knows. And I would just simply encourage you tonight that the things that are done for the Lord with the right heart, that come from a heart of love, are good work. And they'll always have a good result. You might not feel like you have much to offer, but do what you can out of a heart of love for the Lord and watch the Lord multiply it and use it for His glory. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You, Lord, for wonderful examples like this that just demonstrate not necessarily what was done, but the heart behind what was being done. This woman loved the Lord more than anything else. And she wanted an opportunity to honor Him, to reverence Him. And so she did what she could. And Jesus said, it's a good work. Father, that statement is really the most important part because it demonstrates that You approved. And Lord, You've given us life, You've given us salvation, You've put us into a body to serve You. Father, You've left us with a command as a church. You saved us and created us in the image of Christ unto good works. It's Your desire that we walk in them. And all of our life ought to be focused on loving You and pleasing You. And Lord, I pray that You would cause us to be so thankful. Remind us again of what You saved us from and what You saved us to. May our hearts be filled with love and thankfulness unto the Lord that motivates us to live a life that's pleasing to the Lord. May we examine and evaluate the way that we spend our time, the way we spend our days, the heart motive behind it. Who are we living for? Speak to our hearts and make the applications as only You can. In Jesus' name, amen.